Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you for the next 4 hours. Max Herz manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Lots of things to digest and talk about as the season for the Predators comes to a close. They get swept for the first time in franchise history after falling last night 5-3 to the Avalanche. Willie, what's going on?
Darren, good morning. It's a late night. Good to talk to you. And I heard a lot of what you guys were talking about after the game. You know, we had our sort of farewell to Crispy that sort of took center stage after it sunk in when the final horn sounded. Boy, that was tough. We didn't plan on that happening last night. We were hoping that was going to be put off there. So it was quite the night. But now a lot to look ahead to, and I know we'll start today. There's, you know, a lot of passionate fans out there for the Predators, which is a good thing. And, you know, there's so many mixed feelings when you get beat like that, but so many things you try to keep perspective on, and I know we'll break it down a lot today.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is they were just outmatched in this series, and, you know, we may find out that everybody's going to be outmatched. I don't know. There's still a long ways to go. It's one round for the Avalanche, but after seeing them, I was telling Hal Gill last night, it's like, you know, you go through the course of the season, you see Colorado, or you see certain teams, right? They don't have the old schedule like, you know, last year with the reconfigured divisions, and we saw everybody eight times like the old school way, the old CBA way. So you could really get a good look at your division teams, and then we really got a good look at Carolina. But, you know, games, you know, you see Colorado in game 36, and you may see them in game 59, and then you may see them in game 71. The point is, you know, you talk about them for that game, and then you move on to the next opponent, right? And so it's just literally like Bill Belichick, on to the next. Well, when you get in a series, you really get to spend time like really thoroughly examining this Avalanche team. And, you know, not that I didn't think they were good, not that, you know, I just, again, when you see them, you're like, wow, this team is really equipped to go all the way. Now, they still have to do it, and they haven't been able to do it. They're highly motivated. They've been hearing all the stuff, just like Washington did, just like Tampa did, and other teams that have gone through this where they kept underachieving. Edmonton and Toronto have been hearing it for years. You know, can't get out of their own way in the playoffs. They can't do anything once they get to the playoffs. This Colorado team, Willie, looking at them up close and personal, and I know it was just four games, wish it was more, but yikes, that team is scary good.
Yeah, they were really good. I was impressed. I think you knew what you were up against with Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, the two, you know, out of this world superstars, but they also played top level. You know, it's one thing to be great and sort of have your B game, but those two in particular were incredible. I thought Makar just hit a whole new level. There were no answers for him. But also, I really was impressed with the foot soldiers, right? The complementary pieces. Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, how many people knew much about him? I thought he played a really good series. Val Nichushkin. You know, the other guys that they put around the superstars, they've done a very good job of building that. And I thought they defended very well. They competed really well. The speed was good. Now, I would have bet a lot of money in 2018 when the Jets eliminated the Predators in seven games. I would have put a lot of money that the Jets would go on to win it, and they didn't. They lost in the next round. So, you know, I think that remains to be seen, but I think Colorado has the makings of a championship team. So here is really what it comes down to for the Predators, right? They had a very good season, unexpectedly. Very few people, if any, and I know Joe Rex wrote his pound in his chest because he was one that said, yes, they would make the playoffs. But there's not a lot of people that did. They made the playoffs. They had a lot of good things to be positive about. But I think Roman Josi and everybody pretty much came to the same conclusion last night. They're still a level below the elite teams. And, you know, Colorado, because of the structure of the bracket, you know, they're going to play one of those elite teams in the next round. So it's kind of like the Predators in 2018. The Blues and the Wild are both excellent teams, and they're loaded up. So that's the next step for the Predators, is how do you add and make your team better to where you can go up and line up with the elite teams and have a shot to win.
You know who leads all players in the playoffs in points right now?
Cale McCarr.
He's got
4 games.
10 points in 4 games.
He was incredible.
By the way, look around the league. Look at the players, the forwards that are in the playoffs. Cale McCarr leads all players in points. I said it last night. I know we get sucked up because we see him night in and night out, and for good reason. He deserved all the mentions and all the talk that he got this year. Roman Josi. And that's kind of like our world because we see him day in and day out. Again, Cale McCarr knew he was really good. There's nothing that surprised, like, oh my gosh, this guy's like, he's like different level. He's elite. Like, no, I knew that. But again, Willie, through 4 games, watching him in this series, it's like, holy moly, man. And Victor Hedman is a great defenseman. Those are the three finalists for the Norris. I think it's between Josi and McCarr, and quite honestly, I said it last night, and I still believe it today, this should end in a tie because one of them doesn't deserve to lose. It's not fair to the one who's going to lose, and that's probably how it's going to play out. Somebody is going to lose. Those two, the season that they both had this year is just off the charts, and both of them deserve to take home hardware, and I know it's not going to end in a tie, but McCarr, again, I knew he was really good. I've watched him for years now. Man, did he really stand out. Gosh, he's so incredibly good. But you know what? When people that cover other teams see Roman Josi, they probably have the same exact reaction when they see him up close and personal. I just hate that one of them's going to lose.
Right. And, you know, the votes were in, just in case people were wondering. The votes are in at the end of the regular season. If it came down to still going forward, I think McCarr would, just because of how dynamic he was, that would certainly influence some people. But I think it's going to be a pretty close vote. I hope Josi is able to win it. I think Josi deserves to win it for sure. But, you know, let's just illustrate the game-winning goal. Yakov Trenin is a big, strong guy who was having a great, great game. Cale McCarr is on the boards, right? Usually, any normal player, I would say probably 98% of the players, 99% of the players, Yakov Trenin, when he makes the contact he did along the sideboards, he's sealing that guy and the play's over, right? But Cale McCarr is strong enough, quick enough, he slips out and gets around the corner and makes a perfect pass for the game-winning goal. I mean, that's one where it's almost like you got to tip your hat a little bit. That's just fantastic timing at the clutch moment of the game, and that illustrates just the special player that McCarr is. But, you know, that's how the game goes. And so now a lot of questions ahead, just like every offseason, but, you know, what can the Predators do to take the next step forward?
You mentioned the players that shine, the players that stick out, like that you weren't expecting. Like, again, McKinnon and McCarr, it's like, yeah, well, duh, you know, we know that. We got it. You know, you don't even throw in Landeskog and those guys. Like, we got it. Devon Toews, like, wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Hello. I've got to admit, I didn't realize he was that good. Man, that cat played a great series. Devon Toews, holy moly, he was good.
Excellent player to put alongside of Cale McCarr.
How about that tandem, that first D pair? McCarr and Toews.
It goes to show you go back to, you know, the 2017-2018 season when the Avalanche under Joe Sakic, remember Patrick Waugh in that summer quit right at the end of the offseason, out of nowhere. I'm out. I quit. What the heck? Where are they? They were a mess, but they had some good young talent. They had really struggled. They had dipped all the way to the bottom of the league. Joe Sakic was under all kinds of pressure. He hires Jared Bednar, an unknown at the time, out of the AHL, but he was a championship AHL coach, just like a lot of coaches in the league now. They really paid their dues, learned how to coach at the AHL level. He comes in, and they've just built a really great team steadily. You know, the Matt Duchene trade was a part of it, but they systematically put good pieces like Taves around their superstars. And, of course, the draft of Cale Makar was huge. You know, but it goes again. How do you get Cale Makar? You're awful. You get to pick second or third, right?
Which a lot of people are going to bring up today, which we'll get into. We'll have a lot of time to digest all this. D-Mace is going to jump in the mix on the other side. We want your reaction to the season that was for the Predators and moving forward. Text line, phone lines, wide open, 615-737-1025. Those are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Derek will jump in and weigh in his thoughts on last night's 5-3 loss to Colorado. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can turn into Sounds or tune in. You can turn or tune into Sounds Baseball tonight, ESPN 94.9. Six-game road trip. Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Derek, there's a fun one. Mm. We were talking about minor league baseball teams. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Give me some scrimp tonight. First pitch at 6. Pre-game coverage at 5:50. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. What did you think of last night?
Wow. It was, one, the better team won. And I don't think there's anything more the Preds could have done. I think they played a good game. Yeah, they had some mistakes and some, you know, some plays they wish they could have had back, turnovers. But I think they ultimately did everything that they could possibly do. And it still wasn't enough. I don't even think if Soros is in the net, maybe they get one game. But that Colorado team, it just seemed from top to bottom, every line was putting pressure on the Preds, was out skating them. You saw the speed was evident. There was a distinct difference between, you know, how Colorado skated and how the Predators were skating.
I got tired just watching Colorado.
Yeah,
skating.
It was just like, man, they were just, even when the Preds were putting pressure on Colorado at certain times in a game, it was almost as if Colorado was like, okay, enough. Let's do what we need to do. When the Preds will score a goal, it seemed like, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it seemed like when Colorado got up, they were more just wanting to, hey, listen, let's just get this game over with. We know we're the better team. Let's get this game over. And then the Preds come back and put pressure on them and score. And then it seemed like Colorado flicked the switch on again. It's like, hold on. And just ramped it up another speed and scored again. And every time the Predators would score or take the one time they took the lead, it seemed like they just clicked in another gear. And ultimately, the Preds couldn't click that gear. They couldn't click that last gear. The Preds were stuck in third gear, and Colorado ended up putting it in 5 out of 10. They could have won 5 more, but they did just enough to win that hockey game. They showed the Predators, hey, listen, this year, no matter what you do, we're still the better team. It reminded me so much, and I was thinking about this yesterday as I'm watching the game. It reminded me so much of the year we played Indianapolis. And I think I told this story before, where everybody was hurt, and we go to Indianapolis, and we just knew we were not the better team.
Was this the onside kick?
Yeah, the onside kick. I mean, we onside kicked the first play.
Didn't you like jump out like 21-0 or something?
We were just like, and it seemed like all of a sudden Peyton Manning was like, enough. All right? Just enough. We're the better team. Their defense was like, it's enough.
Shoot,
we're the better
go
team.
Go away.
Exactly. And they just ramped it up and ended up scoring, I don't know, 40 points on us. That's how it was with Colorado. It was like, no matter what Nashville did, ultimately at the end, Colorado was like, we're done playing with y'all. We're done. We're going to kick this thing up another notch, and y'all are not going to be able to catch us. And, you know, hey, it's not saying – I'm not saying that the Preds played a bad game. Yes, it wasn't flawless, but they could have played a flawless game and still lost. That's how I feel. Now, everyone else may not feel that way. I believe if the Preds would have played a flawless game, they still would have lost by a goal.
Was that 04 that season?
I think that was 04 when
so
everybody was hurt.
I think you guys jumped up to, I think it was 21-0. The final score was 51-24.
Yeah. It was just like Indianapolis was like, listen, we're done playing with y'all. Y'all could do all these gadget plays and everything else, but ultimately, y'all are down a bunch of players. We are the superior team, and we're going to dominate you. Enough said. There's nothing you can do. And that's how I felt against Colorado with the Preds in Colorado. It was like no matter what they did, the Preds, Colorado always had two answers. And yeah. It was just and it really, was unfortunate.
And it really stings in hindsight because, you know, you wonder what if UC Soros doesn't get hurt, they don't play Colorado in the first round. They're going to play Calgary in the first round. And Calgary, in my opinion, is a notch below Colorado. We'll see. Time will tell because Calgary wins in a little bit of a different way. But I do think I just would have liked to have seen UC Soros and this team go up in a better matchup. And that really, that's the lesson to be learned is you've got to get good enough to where you don't have to play an absolute juggernaut like Colorado or Carolina last year. In the first round.
No, Willie,
they got to get up in there and earn themselves a better matchup in the first round.
You got to be good enough. You got to be good enough to play anybody, not just okay. Let's avoid that
cherry pick team.
Yeah, you got to be good enough to play whoever they line us up against. And the Preds have been that before. They've been good enough to play anybody. It didn't matter. It's just that this year they were not.
That's where I think you want to have perspective. Mm-hmm. What did you expect coming into the season? Okay. I think right now it stings because the reality is in front of you, right? Oh, you know, they're not there. Mm-hmm. But they remember where they were at the end of really 2019, but especially after they lost to Arizona in the bubble in 2020. They looked themselves in the mirror. And they're like, we got to make some changes. And so they've been making changes for 2 years. They went from one of the oldest teams to one of the younger teams. And now, you know, they have cap space. They have youth. They have flexibility to go get better. And so that they didn't have that before. They had to break it down. And to their credit, they broke it down systematically and stayed competitive enough to make the playoffs. And they deserve a lot of credit for that because they haven't sunk to the bottom. To where it takes a long time to come out of that. But they're trying to turn it around and get back up to that elite level where you do feel like you've got a chance against everybody, like they did in 2017, 2018, 2019.
I mean, you're right. And, you know, you never want to be in a situation as an organization where, you know, you're starting from the bottom. Now, there's going to be years where, you know, if you competed at a high level for 3-4 years and then all of a sudden, you know, it's just the world of sports. It's ebb and flows and you kind of take a dip. You know, you're not bad, but you're not what you used to be, but you're still fighting. There's going to be years like that. And I think that's where the Predators are at this juncture is that they're sort of like in the middle. They're not bad. And they're not good, but they're sitting in the middle. And they're, you know, whether they add pieces, here's the part about it that's going to be interesting moving forward, that they're not going to stay status quo. They're not going to stay in the middle. They're either going to go two ways. They're going to go up or they're going to go down. Now, the moves they make in the offseason will dictate that, as we all know. And the first move is Philip Forsberg. What do they do with him? Are they going to sign him back? That will dictate. That's the first domino in probably a bunch of dominoes that need to fall. And if that domino falls the wrong way, then we might see another year of them scratching and clawing to get in the playoffs and to ultimately lose in the first round. So they need to be very, which I know they are, conscious of really trying to get him back on their squad so they can then, you know, move forward and become a better team. So.
All right, let's talk about that on the other side, because a lot of people were talking about the a lot of the videos circulating of the players taking basically their final lap before they leave the ice to say thanks to the fans, and Philip Forsberg kind of drifted off by himself, and there were a lot of people, you know, drawing conclusions from that. We'll discuss that on the other side and the future, because now all attention will turn to the front office and number nine. What's going to happen on that front? They're 2 months away from free agency period beginning. Willie, first, though, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. And look, everybody out there at one time or another, you got bills to pay, right? And sometimes you have credit card payments. Sometimes there are other types of loans. Maybe it's college fund situation. Maybe it is some other kind of high interest loan, whatever it might be. Loan Pronto wants you to know that they've got a method for you to wipe out some of those payments. What they call it is the debt consolidation refi. So if you've got debt of any kind and you're wondering, okay, how do I get out of this hole here? How do I stop these high interest loans? Loan Pronto's got a great method for you. They can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage because your home's value is way up. Inflation's been great for that. So you can refinance your mortgage now, take money out to pay off all your credit cards, eliminate PMI charges perhaps, pay off any other personal loans you might have. And there's a lot of examples of how people are doing that. One couple had $50,000 in credit card debt and personal loans. And so they called Loan Pronto. They did the debt consolidation refi. And even though their mortgage went up a tad, they cut their monthly payments by $900 a month. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? If you haven't considered this before, try Loan Pronto. Call them right now and see if this is the way you want to go. You could even skip your next house payment. Call 615-499-5780 for the details. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Back here on the DDC on this Tuesday morning. Beautiful day. It looks like it's going to get really warm the next several days. Really warm. It's going to feel like summer. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. One of the coolest things in sports is when a hard-fought series comes to a close in hockey and they have the handshake line. And I literally love that. I do think it's one of the coolest things in sports. And that happened last night. And, of course, with the Predators being on home ice in front of the fans, they kind of took their final lap to say goodbye to the fans, raising the stick as everybody was cheering. And that also happens in hockey, which is a cool thing. But a lot of people were putting out a video of kind of, and I've watched several of the videos, and I've watched them multiple times, whereas they're kind of like gathering, you know, it's kind of like a school of fish, you know, where they come together in that big ball, or where they come together in that big ball in that clump, and then they're about to, they're basically raising the stick for the last time, they're about to head down the tunnel, leave the ice for the last time this season, where Forsberg kind of, you know, drifts off a little bit. And so many people were making a lot of that. I said last night, like, look, when Pekka Rinne, you guys know, I tried telling everybody that I felt pretty strongly that Pekka, that was it. I was very consistent all last year. Like, that was it. He was going to retire. And especially after the victory lap against Carolina, where he pitched the shutout in the final regular season game. Like, the two don't match. They're not the same. It's for me, it's not the same feeling at all. Now, I think, you know, because people were tweeting me like, this is 100% Forsberg's gone. Look at this video. He's gone. This is him telling the fans, thanks. Thanks for the memories. You know, you may end up being right. We're about to find out in the next couple of months. But if you're asking me, did I get the same feeling as when Pekka did it? No, not even close. When Pekka did it, I was like, huh, I believe I'm going to be right on this one. This is it. He's retiring. Because that was literally the victory lap to say goodbye. What Philip Forsberg did is he kind of like drifted out and stayed out there a little bit longer than everybody else. He wasn't the first guy to leave the ice. Look, you guys may have different interpretations. People out there listening may have different interpretations. I get it. But don't expect me to go down the same rabbit hole as a lot of people are like, ah, see, that's it right there. He's gone. He gone. Look at it. He gone. He say goodbye to everybody.
I don't think it's necessarily that he's gone, but I think he's appreciative of the season. He's appreciative of the fans, of the organization, and he understands that he might not be here next year. You know, it's sort of 50-50 at this point. So he's just like any other, you know, athlete in his position. You just want to relish that moment. You didn't foresee yourself getting swept in a series and that being your last home game. So, you know, he's the one that's not under contract. So he takes it a little bit different than Yossi or Duchesne or Johansson or anybody else that will be on the team next year because of their contract more than likely. He's the one that doesn't have a contract entering, you know, the offseason. So he's just taking it all in. And you know what? It might be his last game as a Predator. But then again, it might not be. But as a player, you don't want to let an opportunity like that pass by where you don't really just embrace yourself in that moment. Albeit it's a bad moment because you got swept, but you still want to embrace yourself in that moment at the end of the game where you're just taking it all in. So, I mean, I'm 50-50 whether he's going to be back or not.
Derek, I think you put it really well, is that I think you just look at all the different possibilities. Like, I think his sole focus, Philip Forsberg, until the final minute when that empty net goal goes in, is to tie the game and keep on going. Like, it's not like he's thinking about this throughout the day and, you know, what am I going to do? And here's, but I'm sure when the reality set in, you know, he just reacted and he probably did have the thought somewhere in there of, hey, I don't know what's going to happen next. So
of course,
I'm not disputing that. The fans. Uh-uh. I love the fans here, but if you're sitting there and looking at that video and coming to the conclusion that he's saying goodbye,
and it's 100%,
you're a better future crystal ball reader. I don't know who you're consulting, the Psychic Friends Network.
Do you have Dion the Back to the Future?
Yeah,
Dion Ward.
You got a line. Make some money.
Yeah, you got a line to somebody that I don't have a line to. Okay, so I don't. I just don't think that we can draw any conclusions from that. Philip Forsberg, I feel like I've gotten to know fairly well since he was 18. Now you're sitting there going, Willie, you told us that you thought Pekka Rinne was coming back. And I said the same thing. Look, I'm trying to read Pekka. I know him pretty well. I thought maybe he would come back, and he didn't. So anything can happen. But I just don't think you draw any conclusion one way or another from that video. I think in another week when the dust settles, everybody gets a chance to clear the decks a little bit, they'll go to work and try to re-sign him. I think they, you know, that is job one. I think whenever the Predators have their final going away press conference, as they do every year, you'll hear them say this. If you take a look at the order of business and the players that need new contracts, there's only one huge one, and that's Forsberg. All the other ones are role players or restricted free agents that the Predators sort of control a little bit more what's going to happen there. Like Yakov Trenin is a guy that they need to re-sign. He's a restricted free agent, though. He can't go anywhere, right? He's very inexpensive right now. That's going to take some work. But the only pressing matter between now and the time the free agency starts is Forsberg. So all of the attention
clean
will be
locker
focused
clean
on
out
him.
Is today. So I'm assuming he'll
it's
speak.
Coming. It'll come up soon. I'm guessing tomorrow, maybe or
it's
Thursday.
Today. It's today.
No, I'm saying I'm talking about when the press conference is when they actually sit there and talk to the media and say, "Here's our plan for the offseason." You got to give him a chance to cool down a little bit. You guys played the post game press conference with John Hines. You know. It's awfully hard for a coach. Hal pointed this out well. It's awfully hard for a coach who just lost to start all of a sudden changing gears and start looking ahead and talking about what happened over the last month and what's going to happen in the next month. He's just in that moment right now. But that's what I think is insightful about what we're going to see. Once you've had a chance to sort of meet with the players, get a little game plan going forward, that's when you start to get, I think, a little more insight of what the game plan is.
Let's go to Connie on her phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hi, guys. Love your show. I do want to tell you that.
Thank you.
As far as Skorsberg, like I like to call him, his last his loan around the rink, maybe it was hey, fans, you know, give me some love. You know, let me know that you appreciate me. And, you know, and then another thing, too, his girlfriend being and she's also a country music singer, I believe. She's trying for that. So maybe those are some things that will help.
Yeah.
Well, you hope they do.
And, you know, I was at Pekka's last game. So thankful that I was there. And I knew it, too, the last one he played with the Preds, even though it wasn't official then. But, you know, Philip just did one. Pekka did a couple.
Well, he kind of just drifted. Forsberg just kind of drifted.
Right.
Like, Pekka did,
right.
Like, an actual lap.
Yes. So I think that's the difference between them.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I don't know. I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I don't have the same feelings that I did throughout the course of this season whenever we would talk to David Boyle every Tuesday. There were a couple of times I was like, this is about to happen. Clearly, I was wrong.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. And as I sit here today, almost 2 months out from free agency beginning, 2 months and 3 days, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have the same feelings and the same vibes. I just know that, look, again, the people that did tweet that to me or people that just tweeted that out there and I saw that and said 100%, you may end up being right, but if you literally looked at that and said, hey, that's 100%, he's gone, like, I just don't see it that way.
Well, that wouldn't be very smart for Philip Forsberg to do, to all of a sudden to be – if you believe he's made his mind up that he's leaving based on that video, that would mean that Philip Forsberg has cut off the one team that could offer him 8 years – and offer him probably the best deal. Like, why would you cut your options off? Right now, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm not sure if he's coming back. That's a very fair thing because, like Derek said, you don't know. I don't think Philip Forsberg knows what the future holds. He's got to wait and see how the negotiation goes between now and July and then assess his options from there. And maybe he wants to hit the free market. And if he hits the free market, then we go to the next level. But in the meantime, Why would you make up your mind now?
I mean, he has no reason to make up his mind now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, the season is 2 weeks away and he needs to figure out what he's going to do or whatnot. He has a while. And I don't think his mind is made up whether he's going to be back or not. He, just like any other free agent, high-priced free agent, first and foremost, you know, you want to get what you feel you're worth and you want to feel the love and the appreciation, you know, from the organization that you've been with. And if you see that someone else is, you know, appreciating you and loving you more, you know, then sometimes you make a decision based on that and based on emotion. But that's why, you know, they don't have to do a contract within the next 2 weeks or next week, because right now there's a lot of emotion involved. And they let it simmer, let it calm down some. And then, you know, I'm sure Philip would make the best and right decision for Philip Forsberg and not for anyone else.
We'll come back and we'll wrap up the first hour. Second hour, we'll start with Adam Vingan from The Athletic. He wrote a piece on the Predators' ownership that we'll discuss to begin the second hour of the program that was put out late last night on The Athletic. Things on tap here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Predators fall 5-3 to Colorado. Last night, they get swept for the first time in franchise history. Colorado will await the winner of the Minnesota and St. Louis series, which feels like right now it's destined for 7 games. So they will sit and wait, and that series could quite possibly go 7 games. It's tied at 2 apiece. So we're talking about the Predators season, how you feel. So here's a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. No name attached. Forsberg is my favorite Predator ever. I have 4 of his jerseys. That being said, the best thing that could happen for our team is for him to leave. For what he's going to make, he's not good enough. If he's not scoring, he shuts down. He's a turnover machine, always trying to make the big play. We need to start over. New GM, new coach, new hope, songs, new everything. The product has worn out the wins. Right there, we need to reinvent ourselves and reshape the team. That is that's coming from a Philip Forsberg fan.
They threw the baby out with the bathwater on that one.
Yeah. Which, you know, typically happens. I mean,
exactly. Emotions.
Yeah. I mean, it was flying all over the place. The people that were ready for a change and typically are always ready for a change are the minute it's over, that's when they hit send, and that's what happens. And look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, but my goodness, it's time to start over. Like, what do they say in Ottawa? Like, what are they saying in Detroit? What are they saying in Arizona? What are they saying in New Jersey? Good Lord, if it's time to throw everything out in the dumpster and light it on fire, what the hell do they say in those markets?
See, people say
they haven't been doing a whole lot of winning. They just sit there. You're talking about no hope. Mm-hmm. How would you like to go into that every season?
People say that, Darren. And then, you know, once it hit them, and they're in it, then they think, man, they should have kept such and such. They should have re-signed that guy. They should have did this. Well, wasn't, you know, a big group of y'all saying they should just, you know, throw it all in a trash can and burn it up and start over? You know? Mm-hmm. It's I don't think people, I think this was what happened with fans. When they are so removed from the bad days, they forget about them. And they've had so much success, and then when they don't have a little success, it's, let's just throw everything away and let's just start over. Don't you remember what it looked like when you started over and how long it took you to get to that point where you were consistently winning? It took a long time. And what
Willie
were you
and I
saying?
Lived it. What was
exactly.
It really? 13 years?
And what were they saying in those 13 years?
13
we need
seasons?
To get better. We need to do this. We need to do that. So you want to go back to those days and relive it for a long period of time? I don't think people really want to. Again, I know you want the team to get better. We all want the team to get better. We all want the team to make steps to get better. But to just say, let's just throw away everything and start all over. Okay. You really forget what that really looked like, didn't you? And how hard it was to get to that point where you were consistently winning.
I also just want to reiterate that they have set forth and let you know what the plan has been for the last couple of years, and that was to get younger and to get tougher. And I think if you just look, even though you can sit there and say, hey, they've lost in the first round for the last 4 years, and so the graph is going lateral, right? It's not growing.
It's not going down. It's not going up. It's right. It's just.
But I see the progress because they have done it while getting the roster younger and creating the kind of cap space and replenishing the farm system. That's the plan. And so I think they're sticking to the plan. And if you're just going to listen to all the noise and only look on the surface, hey, they've lost in the first round the last 4 years, then, you know, I just think you need to look at it from the second level, because I think the plan is pretty clear. Now, it's not going to be the thing forever. It's not going to be good enough forever. But I think what they've done is they've given themselves the opportunity now to go and improve the roster. They've got the flexibility that not a lot of teams do. And that's now what they have to do going forward. So I think be careful what you wish for when you say just blow it up, start over, get everything new. That's just that might set you back 5-10 years, maybe more.
You prepared for it? Chicago hasn't been to have they been to the playoffs since the Predators swept them?
They have not.
Yeah, they have been. I mean, they got three.
They were in
the bubble.
They
got the hardware. Yeah. So that's not a great example, because they could say, well, you know, I think a lot of markets would be like, well, but we got three cups, so we'll just deal with the pain and suffering. So that's probably not a good analogy. Look, everybody is allowed, and I know this is how it works. We've been through a lot of off seasons on all the local teams, and I get there's a lot of people that are always going to do it, and that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. We'll read them. We'll take your calls. It doesn't mean we're going to always agree with you. But, I mean, it's you know, that same person, unnamed texter, follows up after reading that, after I was severely depressed. I wanted, like, a margarita, maybe a double margarita after reading that text. Follows up and says, yeah, why would he want to stay here and get the hell kicked out of him every postseason? It's like, yeah, but what about the fact that the last 8 years he's been in the postseason? Doesn't that account for something? What about all the players that play every year and go through the grind and never get to the postseason? How about that? Is that, I mean, so is that evil? Is that an even playing field? Not making it or getting beat in the first round, is that the same? I mean, I don't know. Maybe in this person's opinion, yeah. I would think going through the grind of a long season and getting the reward of being in the playoffs would be a good thing as a player. Of course, you want to go further. Phillip's also gone on all the runs.
Mm-hmm.
The last 8 years, he's been in the playoffs. That's pretty good. How many players can say that?
Well,
basically, since he's been a full-time player, he's been in the playoffs. Is that? I mean, that's pretty darn good for the most part. I mean, that's a hell of a run.
It is.
But I mean, again, so you think that wherever he goes, all of a sudden they're cup contenders? Can you guarantee that?
Well, I think in this situation, listen, the team this
year. Are Draisaitl and McDavid, Derek, sorry.
No.
Are Draisaitl and McDavid just wasting away in Edmonton? Why don't they get the hell out of there?
Ain't that easy.
You think they ain't wasting that talent? They don't ever go anywhere. Those guys score 50 goals a year. Aren't they wasting away in Edmonton? I mean, it's hard. It's hard. Everybody wants to win, but to act like if you're not on the doorstep of the cup, you know, then just throw it all out. Like, it's like the whole Islanders thing yesterday. Like, what a joke. And thank God everybody's been beating up Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders because they deserve it. That's a ridiculous move yesterday. 4 years as the coach, the Islanders who have been doing a whole lot of losing, and the first year he takes them to the second round after they let their best player go to the Leafs. And then the next 2 years he goes to a conference final. And then this year, all the circumstances they dealt with, like he doesn't get a pass year because they didn't make the playoffs, so you fire him? Like, give me a break. What? Who are you kidding who on the standards of the Islanders? Yeah, we're not talking about the 80s, dude. We're in 2022, Lou. What standard do you think the Islanders have of, oh, gosh, we've been to the conference final the last 2 years. We didn't even make the playoffs this year. We need a new voice. Like, that's a joke. That's an absolute joke. Like, you don't want to get into that also where you're just constantly changing stuff all the time and it's not working. Again, I'm not saying that there isn't going to be change. There's going to be change. Change is inevitable. But I don't know. That's kind of a dangerous thing if you're constantly going, changing things all the time because – You're counting on that working. How many times do you constantly keep changing things up and nothing ever changes?
Well,
that's got to be a helpless feeling too, right?
Yeah, if that is indeed the case. Listen, this team needs to get better, and everybody understands. They owe it to their fans to get better each and every year. But do you seriously think that the teams they got to start over from scratch, they really want to do that? No, they don't. But they do it anyway. They do it because they have to. The Predators, they're not in a position where they have to start over from the bottom. You know, good what people don't understand is this. Good organizations and the great ones find a way to get better as they sort of decline, in a sense, if that makes sense. Knowing that they're getting older, but they also infuse young people, young talent, and in a sense, the it doesn't drop as fast and as hard. They're able to maintain a level of play while getting better. That's what good teams and great teams do. The bad ones, they bottom out, and then they got to start all over again. And it happens every 3 or 4 years where they got to do that. I don't think the Predators are there. They're a good organization that finds a way at getting better as the year goes on, even though they may take a step back. But it's not taking 5 steps back to only go 2 steps forward. It's sort of like taking a step back and then taking 2 steps forward.
We'll come back second hour. We'll start with Adam Vinken from The Athletic. We do that next.